Let me read today's text one more time, and I'll move on. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Now think about it. What Jesus did and said towards children were revolutionary in the first century standards in Israel. And back then, children and women were not equal to men. And they were considered and treated as inferior to men in many aspects. For example, they didn't have any votes. They didn't have any voice either. And even they were not counted as individuals. For instance, in a room, let's say there are 10 men, 10 women, and 10 children. Today, the head count would be 30. However, if someone counted back then, he would say to me that there are only 10 people besides women and children. In fact, that's how they counted the crowd in the time of Moses when he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. We call the Exodus, and we're talking about 3,500 years ago. And that's also how they counted the people when Jesus fed the multitudes with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many people? The scripture says he fed 5,000 people. Had women and children been counted, the number would have been at least 15,000 people. Now one thing is for sure, Jesus was different. He was radical, and he kept the children dear in his heart. He loved them so much that when his own disciples shooed away the parents who brought their children to Jesus for blessing, the scripture says he got indignant. Very strong word, folks. You don't see Jesus often angry in the scripture, but this time he got really upset. I understand why the disciples rebuked the parents. They believed that their master, Jesus, had no time to see the little ones. And there are so many other people to look after for my master, not the children. Every disciple thought that way. To such disciples, Jesus said, "What are you doing? Let the children come to me and do not stop them." Actually, the Greek word says, "Stop stopping them from coming to me." In my own mental picture, I almost see Jesus' face red. I almost hear his voice raised. The message is very clear. Let the children come to me. Now the same Jesus still loves the children and welcomes them into his kingdom. As he said in today's text, I expect to see a lot of children in God's kingdom. I also expect to see in our own congregation a lot of adults who are childlike, not childish. I hope you see the difference between childlike and childish. What is childlike? Childlike adults receive God's kingdom like a child does. How does a child receive God's kingdom? With simple truth and obedience, not with doubts or even calculations. Let me repeat what Jesus says. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Jesus also commands us to welcome the children in God's house, and that's why we as Christ's body, the church, always welcome the children. Have you noticed that even in our Methodist denomination, we invite the children to come to the Lord's table? Because the same reason Jesus welcomes them. So next time when you hear a baby crying in the middle of the service, do not get annoyed like the disciples did. Rather, remember and thank Jesus that we still have children in our midst. Children are always welcome in our midst. Now listen to what Jesus said one more time. Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. May I say, therefore, by welcoming children among us, we welcome God among us. God also commands us not to cause little ones to stumble in their journey to heaven. Listen to Jesus one more time. He says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, if he had been cast into the sea. The way I understand, if we made the children sin against God by our poor examples, Jesus said, we would be better off dying than facing the consequences. In other words, God will hold us accountable with what we have done with our children. So this morning, I humbly invite you to think with me about the children and the parents and the parenting. Now, if this topic does not concern you, let's say, hey, I have no children, or my children are all grown up, although I have a little different opinions on that. My mom is 90 years old and she still does parenting for her grown up children. Now, if this topic doesn't concern you, you can still pass along this message to the parents of young children. To me, children are a gift from God. God gave them to us. We don't own them. They are precious and adorable and wonderful, and they bring us joy, laughter, and sometimes tears, and sometimes headaches. With them, we walk our life journey together, and together we create memories, wonderful memories with our children. We are the family, aren't we? In the family, parents take the very crucial role. It is called parenting. We are the caretakers of our children. We are the stewards in whose hands God entrusts children. It is our privilege as well as responsibility to raise them as the children of God and as responsible citizens in our society. In fact, the future of our society depends on your family, you and your children. I wish that parenting were a piece of cake. And most of the time it is indeed rewarding, but sometimes it gets challenging. It is wonderful most of the time, but at times it gets horrible. We all wish that each child were born with a customized manual, how to raise your child, ABCs. But they are not born with that. Do not despair, however. God can help you, and so can the church. I'd like to share with you, every parent this morning, two things that helped me when I was raising my kid at home. The first one was eternal perspective. When you look at your child's life through the lens of eternity, everything will look different. Most of us, though, 99% of the time, look at child's life through the lens of what? This life. When you look at the child's life through the lens of eternity, you will realize that the life on earth is only the stepping stone to eternal life. Imagine yourself, if you think of the beginning of time and end of time, and every minute and second is on this string of time, your life, 80 years of life on earth, is going to be like a tiny speck on that timeline. That's how. But most of us spending on energy and everything on that tiny speck, disregarding or even ignoring or even not knowing about the time eternity. When we look at child's life from the eternal perspective, the goal of parenting would be different. The means of parenting would change as well. When you begin your parenting with eternal life in mind, you would realize that what you do here and now prepares your child for eternity. Many of the parents would say to me, I want my child to have a good education, good college, and enjoy a happy life, and so on. But did you realize that those goals are all about the life here on earth? What about their eternal life? Have you ever thought about that? Therefore, ask the questions like this. What can I do to prepare my child to be in the presence of God forever? What do I want them to be like in the end? Or what should be their first priorities in life? Knowing this, my wife and I raised one child in our home. We wanted our child to be with Jesus in heaven. That was the beginning, because of the eternal perspective. We always prayed that she would know God and that she would love God and her neighbors. Once our priorities were set, then we organized everything around the priorities and executed them. There are a couple of examples. Nowadays, you know, the sports coming out big time on Sunday mornings. A lot of young families, you know, they send their youngsters to the sports, the soccer, baseball, whatever it is. Now, back then, 20-some years ago, we decided that Sunday morning is the most sacred time for the family. We decided that nothing should come between God and us on Sunday mornings. So, we said, we're not going to sign up for any extracurricular activities on Sunday morning. That was the priority, we said. And Sunday morning was so important that we also, when it comes down to social activities like sleepovers, we told our child that, you know, you could have sleepover on Friday night or Sunday night, but not on Saturday night. Because when you do, very likely you'll miss Sunday morning services. So we just set the priorities and just organized everything around it and executed them. Remember, eternal perspective. The second thing that helped us tremendously in our parenting was the law of harvest. We harvest what we sow, folks. We cannot harvest corn where we planted tomatoes. Simple as that. Everyone knows that. My personal observation in parenting tells me that there's about 20-year cycle in our parenting. What I sow today, I'll harvest the fruit 20 years later. What I harvest today was sown 20 years ago. Simple as that. Today, I enjoy the fruit of my 20 years of investing my life in my child's life. Love and trust and fun and laughter, blessings and prayers. I also plant today in the same relationship that I have with my child for the next 20 years of relationship. Same thing. I'll harvest what I plant today 20 years later. So here are the three things that I recommend to every parent. Number one, pray. We did that today, blessing of the children by laying hands on their child's head and bless the child in the name of the Lord. How do I know it is important? Because the Bible says so. Isaac, the son of Jacob, Abraham did, Jacob did, and Joseph did. Three generations, they all did the blessing of their children. And even Jesus did it today in today's text. The biblical practice of blessing your child by laying hand on the child is too good to miss. I'm sure it's a lot of us miss that because no one told us. I'm telling you today, it's never too late. You know when you do the lay your hand on your child's head and bless them, you know what happens to the child? Let me tell you one thing. You are instilling the security in their heart and mind that my dad, my mom loves me. You want a security in your child's life? Do it then. You will never regret. Think this way. Who will pray and bless your child if you don't? Knowing this, I used to do daily blessings on my daughter and for her, one in the morning and one at night. And I still would do that. Same thing if I raise another child at home. Pray. Number two is that equip your child with a lifelong help, which is the Bible. After all, did you know that the Bible is the bestseller in human history? If you consider yourself, I'm a coach for my child, for her life, or for his life, If you open your coat, you know, whatever, tool chest, toolbox, what do you see? Good education, whatever is there. Do you see copy of the Bible in your toolbox for your child? If you don't, it's not too late. Put it in there. After all, the Bible is a divine and supernatural means to help your child. Listen to what the Bible says. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of what? The Lord. Instruction of the Lord is, of course, the Bible. In my family, as my daughter was growing up, we chose an age-appropriate Bible for her so that we may instill in her heart early a godly habit of getting into God's Word. I still remember when she was like 4 or 5 years old, just beginning to learn how to read and write down. We got the children's Bible and we asked her, Sarah, that's her name, you write a few passages today, and in her own writing, I want you to write down today's date, like September the 7th. Just numbers, 9, you know, slash 7. The following day, she did the same thing. I wrote, asked her to write down 9-8. Before I knew it, about 2 or 3 months later, she finished the entire children's Bible. You know, that boosted her selfishness. Hey, I finished reading the Bible. And we moved on to the next Bible and so on and so on. The point is getting into the Word of God daily. It would have been very foolish of us if we had failed to do so. You know why? Because God's Word will help our children to develop a lifelong relationship with God. Isn't it what we want in our child's life? How do you develop that? Sending them to Sunday school, yes, that helps. But, you know, nothing like for themselves to get into the Word of God. The Bible also equipped them with a right understanding of people. Have you heard of that everyone is equal under God? American Constitution? Yes, it's there. But you know what? They borrowed the concept from the Bible. The Bible says that you shall not worship no other people, no other God but me. We only worship God. The rest of us are equal. Okay? That kind of thing only Bible can teach. Do you also want a healthy self-esteem and self-worth in your child? Guess where do you need to lead your child to? The Bible. You know, I myself consider very blessed to be educated in a good education, in a good school system and whatnot. But when it comes down to self-worth and self-esteem, we all have our little, you know, dark side, whatever, not so good self-esteem and worth. I've seen some Harvard graduates, for example, suffering from very low self-esteem and so on. Do you want to have your child have a very healthy, strong self-esteem? Where do you get that? Not from education, not from what they achieve. People try to get that thing, you know, by achieving a lot, but that's all false. The solid self-worth comes from God. Let me tell you, mark it down. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. You read it. When Jesus was coming out of the baptism, after he was baptized, there was a voice, you know, coming from heaven, from God, saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." Once I was reading that Bible, and I felt like God was speaking to me, "Gayun Choi, never ever forget that you are my son. I am well pleased with you." And I said, "Lord, thank you so much. You love me that much?" Do you want that for your child? Lead them to the Bible. The third thing is the family devotions. Have family devotions once a day after dinner. I'm speaking to young families here. Have everybody participate. If you don't know what to do, let me tell you. Listen very carefully. Choose the Bible, typically like Proverbs or Psalms, or even the Gospel. You know, Mark is good place to start. Read a few just passages, like verse 3 or 4 verses from the Bible, and then share joys and concerns. You could ask, "Hey, son, was everything okay? How was your school today?" They would tell you. The daughters would tell you. Okay? And after that, you pray together. "Oh, Lord, today my son didn't have a good day, but I'm sure he'll be okay tomorrow." It's very whatever, you know, in your heart. And end the devotions with the Lord's Prayer. Let me tell you how long it takes from the beginning to the end. About 10 minutes. Don't tell me that you have no time. 10 minutes. It's your heart. It's your mind. Because we spend our hour or two, sometimes 3 hours watching TV or whatever we want to do every night. Finding 10 minutes? Yes, you can. It's a matter of your heart. Now, let me one thing. I can guarantee you, if you do this family devotions once a day with your children, you will be truly blessed beyond your imagination. And I'll follow up on this topic, you know, next month as well, for the entire church this time. But anyway, my blessings and prayers are with you, every family, who wants to raise a healthy and happy child in the Lord. Let us bow our heads and pray. I wonder if Jesus were physically present with us this morning. We had about 20 kids in our midst. I'm sure he would have done the same thing. Bring the children to me. Let me bless them. Oh, Jesus knew that when he did that, God's blessings fell on and flows through the entire body of a child. Why do we keep children from getting blessed by your word? Was it our ignorance? Was it our neglect? I pray and lift up the families in our congregation, small and big, old and young, starting today. Help us to keep our family going strong by praying and leading them into God's word and having family devotions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.